أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I will be covering the 27th juz today, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll be starting just a little bit before it. The surahs that we'll talk about today are Surah Dhariyat. Surah Dhariyat is surah number 51. Let me just scroll through the list for you guys. Dhariyat is 51. Surah Tur is 52. Surah Najm, 53. Surah Al-Qamar, 54. Surah Al-Rahman, 55, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, 56, Surah Al-Hadid, 57. These are the surahs that we will cover or briefly touch upon today. And just as a disclaimer before we begin, of course, these surahs are very deep surahs. Most of them are early Meccan surahs, except Surah Al-Hadid, which is a Medinan surah. Most of them are early Meccan surahs. Early Meccan surahs are shorter, but they have a lot more content. And they're explained later on through later Meccan revelation. So as an example, we will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just quickly reference the story of a prophet without getting into too much detail. The details were explained in longer surahs that we had studied earlier on in our study. So let's begin. Now, before we even begin, I'm actually also going to make a small another disclaimer. First is Surah Dhariyat and Surah Tur, 51 and 52, are very similar surahs. They have a very their relationship is very they're linked together. They are complementary surahs. Also, we will see that Surah Al-Najm and Surah Al-Qamar are also very complementary. And Surah Al-Rahman and Surah Waqi'ah, 55 and 56, are also very complementary. So let's first actually examine the beginning of Surah Dhariyat, and then talk about the complementary nature of Surah Dhariyat and Surah Al-Tur. Okay. Surah Dhariyat begins with an oath. Okay. I'll read it and then I'll explain what the oath really means. وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا, by those scattering and dispersing. Okay. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرًا, and those who are carrying a load. Okay. Now, if you notice in the translation, there's brackets that those clouds carrying a load of water, that's all a person's interpretation, their reading of it. But linguistically, hamilat is something that carries it, carries something. Wiqra is something that is heavy. Hamilati wiqran, those carrying a very heavy load. Faljariyati yusran, and those that are flowing smoothly, with ease. Falmuqassimati amran, and those that are distributing things. But again, notice, each time the bracket has an insertion that this person's opinion or the person who translated this Quran, their opinion is mentioned here. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا means the ones who distribute things. إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٍ, absolutely no doubt what you have been promised is true. وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٍ, and absolutely no doubt that the deen is going to happen. Let's deconstruct these six ayat because there's a lot to unpack here. Okay, I'll explain what a deen here means just in a little bit. First thing to notice is the idea of an oath in the Quran. We've seen a few surahs in Quran that began with oath. Not too many yet. We saw Surah Safat, Was-Safat, Yusuffan. We saw there was the Surah Yasin, Wal-Qur'an al-Hakim, Sad, Wal-Qur'an al-Dhikr. Those surahs began with an oath. A lot more surahs that come later on begin with an oath, like Wal Asr, Wal Fajr, etc., etc. What is the point of an oath? That's a question that we should first address. An oath is something the Arabs had a habit of doing. They had a habit of taking an oath to basically give strength to their argument. This was the way they spoke. Ancient Arabs, classical Arabs, that's how they would speak. Even modern day Arabs, if you were to speak to them, a lot of them, they would be saying, Wallahi, 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 I drank water, Wallahi, I drank milk, Wallahi, I had cereal for suhoor. Wallahi is just rolling off people's tongues. And that's just because you want to strengthen your argument. So oath is generally taken to strengthen a person's claim. Now the question is, why is Allah taking an oath to strengthen his claim? The idea is not that Allah's claim is weak. The claim is very strong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He takes an oath, He does something really incredible. He links the oath to what He is talking about. Okay? This is something that we don't do. This is something that normal people didn't do. This is something the Arabs didn't do. This is what Allah does though, to show the incredible nature of the Qur'an. So He links, for example here, ذَارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا. Now, there's many interpretations. The one I feel that is really suitable here is all of the four verses that are taking, that have an oath, are talking about the winds. They're describing the job that the winds do. Okay? So, وَذَارِيَاتِ ذَرْوًا. So, the winds that are scattering things. Now, we know, for example, today, that it's the pollination fruit that the plants grow, or the process of pollination happens when either the bees take the pollen from one plant to the other plant, or the wind blows it. Wind blows the pollen, and then that pollinates the plants, and then you have fruit, and you have other types of vegetation coming out of it. So ذَارِيَات, I believe here, and this is actually a good opinion, not I believe, I've read this opinion, and the opinion is, it's the winds that scatter things. That's the nature of the wind, it scatters things. It could scatter dust, it could scatter, if you have a bunch of paper, a wind blows, it scatters the paper. But here particularly, it could refer to the wind scattering the pollen that pollinates the plants, because there's benefit in that. Now, فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرًا, and the winds that are carrying a very heavy load. What winds are these? These are the winds that bring together the clouds. They form the clouds. There's moisture that's rising up, right? And the moisture that rises up, that moisture is brought together by the winds. And then the gravitational forces start to act upon them as they become slightly bigger and bigger, and the clouds form. And when the cloud is formed and the wind is carrying that cloud to wherever it's going, it's really heavy. Do you know that the moment when the cloud starts to rain, that's the point where now the cloud cannot bear its weight anymore. So it rains. The weight of the moisture in it cannot be held anymore, so it rains. So it's extreme weight, like some of the clouds weigh over, 100, 200 tons. Very heavy. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ بِقْرًا, it's the winds that carry this heavy burden. Okay? So we see pollination, and that gives us our fruit, the things that we eat. We see the winds that are used to carry the clouds, that's how we get our water. That's the start of our water supply, of the water cycle. Okay? فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرًا, and also the winds that blow very nicely, very gentle, a nice gentle breeze. You're taking a walk in the park, and the wind is flapping against your beard, if your hair is not long enough, or something. It's that gentle breeze. You know, seen those car commercials? The person's driving, and the passenger's got his hand out, or her hand out, and they're going like this, right? That is جاريات يسرى, this gentle, enjoyable breeze. You enjoy it. If you go by the sea, not by the ocean, ocean's okay, but if you go by the sea, I'm sorry, not by the lake, by the ocean, if you go out to a beach that's next to the ocean, the breeze is incredible. Sea breeze is so incredibly soothing, subhanAllah. It's an incredible... I grew up in a port city in Pakistan, named Karachi, right? And one of the things that was amazing about Karachi was it was extremely hot during the day, but in the evening it was extremely cool, because the sea breeze would blow over, and it was so beautiful, subhanAllah. It was incredible. فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرًا فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا and the winds that take and proportion things. This is, could be referring to the Allahu A'lam what this exactly refers to. It could refer to the angels that are appointed to run these winds, and this is something that only Allah knows of. It could also refer to the winds as they break things apart, like the clouds are broken apart by the winds. But we notice all these things are, these are things that we can observe, can't we? The wind blowing, pollination happening, clouds forming, rain coming down, the gentle breeze, right? The different types of breezes in different types of places. All of this is something we feel and observe, right? We can see this. Yes or no? Yes, right? Okay. Just as certain we are of seeing this, we should be certain, إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٍ. What you've been promised is also true. Just as certain you are when you feel that nice cool breeze, you should be just as certain that the Day of Judgment is coming. إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٍ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٍ. And no doubt the deen is going to happen. What is a deen here? A deen, dana yadinu, linguistically means to be able to take a loan, to pay somebody back. It's to pay somebody back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls a deen, yawmuddin, is the day when people will get paid back. It's the day where everybody will receive their paycheck. Or they will receive a bill. You owe these many good deeds to this person. Or here's what you're going to get. It's the day when things are returned in full. وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٌ. And this is also the concept of deen, as in religion. Because what we do as part of our religion, we just don't do it for no reason. We do it because we want something in the akhirah, right? We do it for a payback. We're good to our mothers and our fathers because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be happy with us so we can get Jannah. For example, sometimes we're good to them because they're awesome. Sometimes we have to be good to them even when they're not being awesome because Allah has told us to be good to them. So this idea of deen is we do something for a payment, for a payback. إِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٌ. Absolutely no doubt that the deen, the payment or repayment will occur without any shadow of a doubt. So we notice this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects the content of the oath to what He's trying to strengthen the argument. The argument He's making and the oath He's taken, He is connecting both of them content-wise. We'll see a lot more of this in the 30th juz, because the 30th juz has numerous oaths. وَالْتِينِ وَالْزَيْتُونِ. An incredible oath. وَالْعَصْرِ. Even more incredible is وَالْعَصْرِ. Also, for example, the وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. These surahs and the incredible connection between the oath that Allah takes and the argument He's making is just mind-blowing. Right, so we'll talk more about this inshallah in the 30th juz, and probably the 30th juz will just focus on oaths, because the 30th juz is very large in terms of content. We can't cover everything. Maybe let's focus only on the oaths that we find in the 30th juz and just appreciate that particular aspect. Now what we notice in this surah is, I said this surah and Surah Tur are complementary surahs, they're pairs. You look, if you flip to Surah Tur, which is the next surah, you will find Surah Tur also begins with the with an oath, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I can go to it, وَالطُّور وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورٍ وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ وَالسَّقْفِ الْمَرْفُوعِ وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ. Six oaths He takes, and then He says, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٌ. Absolutely no doubt that the punishment of your master is going to fall. It's going to happen. وَمَا لَهُ مِن دَافِعٍ. And there's nobody who's going to be able to prevent it from happening. You notice both surahs. Surah Al-Dhariyat says, إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٍ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٍ. What your promise is going to happen. And Surah Tur says that, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعٍ. Absolutely no doubt the punishment, which is part of the promise, is going to happen for sure. وَمَا لَهُ مِن دَعْفِعٍ. And there's nobody who can stop it. So this is, you notice this complementary thing about this surah. Another thing that's really interesting and complementary is the mention of the people of Jannah and Jahannam are in both surahs. But what's interesting is in Surah Dhariyat, we are presented with a glimpse of the people of Jannah and Jahannam as they are doing their business in dunya. And in Surah Tur, Surah number 52, we are presented with a glimpse of them as they are living life in the Akhirah. Okay, so we notice in Surah At-Tur, in Surah Dhariyat, Surah number 51, Allah says, قُتِلَ الْخَرَّاصُونَ Destroyed are the falsifiers. Kharras is somebody who would say to the Prophet, well, you're just making this up, this is not really true, and you're just basically making up stuff that has no reality. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ سَاهُونَ Those who are within a flood of confusion and are heedless. That's a good translation, alhamdulillah, we'll take that. غَمْرَةٍ سَاهُونَ Sahi is like he just doesn't care about, he doesn't have any idea, he's oblivious. So what's going on? غَمْرَةٍ سَاهُونَ This is the description of these people in the dunya. You see? يَسْأَلُونَ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الدِّينَ And they keep asking. يَسْأَلُونَ Over and over again. أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الدِّينَ When is this day of deen? When is this happening? This payback. When is this payback coming? I want my paycheck now. Right? They will mock the Prophet ﷺ. And the answer Allah gives with just as much, they bring a very harsh tone, they're mocking the Prophet. The reply is also a harsh reply. يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ Allah says, that's the day when you would be roasted over the fire. When they would be roasted over the fire. You see, when the Sahaba asked a question, or a genuine person asks a question, the answer is a genuine answer. When the people of Quraysh would come and they would mock the Prophet ﷺ, and they would say, they would bring a bone and they would crush it in their fingers, and they would say, Ya Muhammad, أَتَزْعُمْ أَنَّنِي إِذَا صِرْتُ هَكَذَا أُبْعَثْ Do you think that when I will be turned to dust like this, I will be brought back to life? You think that's going to happen? This person is clearly not asking, this person is just confronting the Prophet ﷺ. He's not looking for any answers. So the answer to this kind of person is given in the same tone. الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسٍ عَمَلٍ Like the scholars say. This person is speaking harshly, he's mocking the Prophet ﷺ, the answer is given with a bit of, like tit for tat. That kind of way. يَوْمَهُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ That's the day when they will be roasted on the fire. Now, this is them in the questioning the Prophet ﷺ, interrogating the Prophet ﷺ, mocking him in dunya. In Surah Tur, I'm actually going to open a new tab here. 52, I believe, right? So we see them in the dunya now. Surah Tur describes them in the Akhirah. فَوَيْلُوِنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Those who were denying, or those who were calling the Prophet ﷺ a liar, wail to them. And I said wail is either, wail is a valley in hellfire, that's one opinion, but also wail is, it's somebody who curses themselves. Ya wailata, ya laytani, somebody who is cursing themselves out of intense regret, intense suffering. There's a physical pain, that's the valley in hellfire, and there's emotional pain. That's the person who's cursing themselves because of a missed opportunity, because of what they should have done but didn't do, and now they have nothing, they can't do anything about it. So, that is al-wail. So Allah says, فَوَيْلُوِنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ So wail be to them who are al-mukathibin, those who call the Prophet ﷺ a liar. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ Those who are just playing around. All their life is just a game. Life is just a game for them. فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ Because if life becomes a game, everything about a life is just play and fun and enjoyment, then the problem is serious things are ignored. Serious matters are ignored. Not enough due attention is provided to something that is serious. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي خَوْضٍ يَلْعَبُونَ Now Allah says, describing them in Jahannam. Surah Tur, Dhariyat describe them in dunya. Tur describes them in the Akhirah. How so will they be in the Akhirah? يَوْمَ يُدَاعُونَ إِلَى نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَاعَ The day when they will be pushed into hellfire. دَاعًا Severely. Because if you see somebody who is, you might see this in movies and stuff, but someone is being pushed off a cliff and they're resisting and they're pushing back. and then they get a stronger push, and then they're off they go, right, down the cliff. So this is how the scene is going to be, that they will be trying to resist, and they will try to go away from hellfire, and they will be, you know, how people drag their heels to prevent themselves from falling down the cliff. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدَعُونَ إِلَىٰ نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ دَعَىٰ. They will be pushed down into the hellfire, subhanAllah. May Allah protect us from this kind of punishment. هَذِهِ النَّارُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. This is the hellfire. It will be told to them on that day, this is what you used to say, it doesn't exist. You see, there's physical pain and there's emotional pain. You notice that about Jahannam. There is physical pain and emotional pain always together. And he says also about them, أَفَسِحْرٌ هَذَا. Is this now magic? Are these fairy tales? You called it fairy tales, right? You said there's no proof for it, so it doesn't exist. Do you believe in it now? إِصْلَوْهَا. Now you roast in it. فَاصْبِرُوا أَوْ لَا تَصْبِرُوا. Be patient or don't be patient. It makes no difference. Take this punishment quietly or take this punishment while yelling and screaming. It makes no difference. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's all the same. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this because He enjoys punishing people. In fact, Allah says, اللهم إنك عفوٌ تحب العفو. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. And forgive in a manner that the traces of the sin are gone. Eradicating the past. That's what Allah loves to do. So here, it's not that Allah is enjoying punishing these people. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You're only being paid back for what you used to do. What you did, this is your payback. Yawmuddin is payback time, right? So that's what it is. Now, Surah Dhariyat describes the people of Jannah while they were first in dunya. Remember, I'm saying they're complementary, right? Surah Dhariyat described the people of hellfire first in the dunya. Surah Tur described them then in the akhirah. Surah Dhariyat describes now people of Jannah in the dunya. Because the Quran, whenever people of Jannah, people of Jahannam are mentioned, then people of Jannah are also mentioned to give us the hope and the inspiration to work towards that. Now, what is it that is that we find about the people of Jannah in this dunya? What did they do? إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. The righteous will be in gardens and springs. آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. They are taking gratefully and happily what their master is giving them. آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. What was it about them that was so special? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Absolutely no doubt, they used to be people who did things with excellence. Muhsineen, doing things with excellence, doing things beautifully, taking ownership of what they're doing. You see, if a person gets a job, they can either just do it because that's the job and they get paid for it and they move on, or they can take ownership of it and they completely pour their heart and soul into it. And there's no comparison between the two. The second one is the guy who's getting the promotion. He's the one, even if he doesn't get the promotion, when he's doing the job, he's feeling good. And when the job is done, he's like, you know what? I did my best and I know this is going to work. This is going to be good because I did my absolute best. I took full ownership of this. Likewise, and also another example that's for me relevant is taking exams. Somebody who studies for an exam a little bit and they're like, you know what? I hope I pass. And there's the one who's like, you know what, I'm going to study everything, make sure that I have mastery over the content. The person who has, the second person, when he goes to write the test, they're at peace, they're at ease. And when they write their test and their exam, they have that ownership and they do it in the best possible way. So the process is very enjoyable and the outcome is also very enjoyable. That's the idea of doing something with ihsan. Now apply that to the akhirah. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. They used to be living this process of acquiring Jannah. They used to enjoy that process. Every single day they would pray and they would do their absolute best in praying. Like the Prophet said, الإحسان أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That we worship Allah as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. And if you can't see Him, then you shouldn't worship Him. knowing that He's watching you. Now a person who prays like that, a person who fasts like that, a person who talks like that, they're watching what they're saying because they are watching what they're saying because they know Allah is there watching them, or as if they can watch Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they're talking. This person has taken ownership of this, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, when they do it, it's done beautifully. They have put all they have in it. So they enjoy the process and they enjoy the outcome. They enjoy both things. They enjoy the process of getting to Jannah, going through what life has to go, what life throws at them. And also they are certain that, you know, in the Akhirah, alhamdulillah, I tried my best. I know I'm going to be taken care of in the Akhirah. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Doing things with excellence, doing things beautifully. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. They used to sleep at night, of course, but only a little. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of people like this, who would pray at night in Ramadan and after Ramadan. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Sleep a little bit at night and pray most of the night. And then, وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. After, Ashar is the time of Suhoor. Right? Ashar is the time of Suhoor, just before Fajr, that time. They prayed the night, and then just before Fajr, as they're waiting for Fajr Salah, they're sitting there and they're making istighfar. And what is istighfar? They're apologizing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar, the essence of it is to apologize to Allah. They're apologizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any shortcomings in their worship, in their life, in their dealings with people. This is a person who's got no ego. They have conquered their ego completely. They have conquered their ego completely. And you see an example of that. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. In their property, in their wealth, the assets that they have a right. They know that there is a right in what I own for Sa'il, the one who's asking, wal mahroom, and the one who doesn't ask. Doesn't have and doesn't ask. Both are covered here. Sa'il is the one who doesn't have and he's asking. Mahroom is the one who doesn't have, but he has the dignity to not ask. In fact, it is greater to find a person who needs, but he has the dignity and honor to not ask and give that person. That is one of the best forms of sadaqah. So Allah says about these people that not only do they give to somebody who's asking, they actually can spot somebody who's needy but not asking, and they go and take the initiative and give to them as well. Subhanallah. And what's fascinating, Allah says fi amwalihim, not malihim. Mal is the singular of wealth, okay, and money. Amwal is the plural. It shows that they have a lot of money, a lot of wealth. They have investments, they have, you know, a great career, they have assets, they have all that. And having all that, they are using it and they are giving it to people who need it, those who are asking for it and those who are not asking for it. Subhanallah, such incredible people. Such incredible people. May Allah make us people of such people, make us like these people and enter us in Jannah. So in summary, these people, as we saw, they pray at night. It just tells you that they're also praying during the day, but at night particularly they're spending the nights praying. Then they are after prayer they still have the humility to apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say make istighfar. And then this is their personal life. Then they have a social life. Amwal, they have money, they have businesses, they have lots of assets, lots of investments. So they work with people. Right? You cannot have amwal and you don't work with anybody. Right? They work with people. And then while they're working with people, they find those who need money, they need help, they need some boost in life, and they give the money to them, those people as well. Such incredible balance of personal spirituality and social work. Personal life, coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and business. This is like incredible role models that Allah provides for us in the Quran. Now, in Surah Tur, we see what happens to them in Jannah. What happens to them in Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّةٍ وَنَعِيمٍ in ayah number 17. No doubt, absolutely no doubt, that the people who have taqwa, who have protected themselves from falling into sins, taqwa is to protect. The essence of taqwa is to protect yourself. Those who have protected themselves from falling into sin, from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from sinful situations, fi jannatin wa na'im, they will be in gardens and pleasure. They protected themselves from certain types of pleasure that was out of bounds. Pleasure of, you know, drinking, pleasure of having affairs. They protected themselves. So their payment is they will be in pleasure. Their life would be pleasure. Everything about their life will be pleasure. Subhanallah. فَاكِهِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ They will be in so much pleasure. Allah says they're faqihin. They're enjoying. Right? They're just enjoying their life. In Jannah, of course. بِمَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ With what their master has given them. وَوَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ And their master had saved them from the torment of hellfire. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا Eat and drink hani'an, in satisfaction. You know, subhanAllah, we eat a lot, mashallah. Because we live lives of privilege. We have a lot to eat, most of us. And a lot to drink whenever we want. We have it, alhamdulillah. And what happens is, for example, if you have iftar, and then you have coffee afterwards. There's this bloated feeling. Just feel like there's no space left even to breathe. Right? Maybe you've had too much chicken. This is the problem that we have with overeating. It's not hani'an. A person could be hungry and they start eating and they feel good. Then they're full and you give them the same food or even better food and they'll be able to eat a little bit of it. And then if they're forced to eat that same really incredible food, they would actually choke and throw up. Right? This is the way we work. We can only eat to a certain amount and afterwards we have to throw up if we're forced to eat more. But in Jannah, it's the opposite. Hani'an, you can keep eating and eating. If that's all you want to do in Jannah, by all means. Just eat and eat and eat, subhanAllah. Kudu washrabu hani'an. Enjoying every single bite. Bima kuntum ta'amaloon. All of this is done because of what you used to do. Remember the contrast between Dhariyat. They were spending their nights worshipping Allah, spending their days, you know, worshipping Allah while being ethical businessmen and giving to people. And here you find, subhanAllah, Allah says, because what you did in dunya, you're getting this payment back now. Muttaki'een ala sururin masfufa. They will be chilling. Muttaki'een means they're chilling because they're leaning back, right? Anybody who's relaxing and chilling, they're leaning back. Someone sits like this and chills, right? Someone wants to just relax. مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى سُرُورٍ مَصْفُوفَ And they're chilling on what? There are reclining thrones, not just a nice couch, on a throne. And you know, reclining couches are, you know, we have, if you buy a bed, right? You have beds that have a headboard that's straight. And you recline on it, it's very uncomfortable. But there are certain beds that have a reclined headboard. And then if you recline on that, subhanAllah, it's like, you know, something else. You can just sit there and just chill. That's what it means. Reclining. Sururim masfufa. Muttaqeena ala sururim masfufa. Their thrones and that whatever they're resting on, chilling on, be extremely comfortable. And wazawajnahum bihurin ayn. That we will marry them to fair women with large, beautiful eyes. Now, hurin ayn is, this is an interpretation of what it means. To have large eyes. There's other interpretations of it as well. But what the reality of it means is, this is somebody who is just, you know, eye-poppingly beautiful. That's what hurun ayn means. Like, your eyes will pop when you see this person. Hurun ayn. And Allah says, we will give this to them. Zawwajnahum. This will not be yet an affair. This will not be something like a fling that happens in this dunya. No, this is, that's, you know, a sense of permanence. It's got a sense of permanence. And you know, the idea is that an affair is just emotional, and then you're done with it, you're like, whatever, you go your way, I go my way. But true love, which has emotion and also compassion, you have this emotional attachment, you're emotionally charged, but also there is, you know, just that feeling of just wanting to be with that person, to hang out with that person, genuinely enjoying the company of that person. Both things go together. That's actually true love. The first one is just a release of emotions and nothing more. So Allah says, زَوَّجْنَاهُمْ. This is actually true love. They will be given, like, they would enjoy their company, and they would hang out, and they would have a good time, and have that pleasure that's there, marital relations. The question, of course, is what about our sisters? And the sisters, of course, like Allah says, وَهِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ. Everybody will get whatever they love. But the Quran does not describe, Allah SWT only chooses to describe the hur in the Quran. It does not describe what the women will get. A hadith describe it that their husbands would be very, you know, they would love their husbands. If they don't have a husband, Allah will give them a husband that they love. Right? If they couldn't find anybody in Jannah, Allah will create somebody for them in Jannah so they can love them. Right? Everybody will be taken care of. But particularly, this is one thing, that this is human nature. This is psychology. Right? This is psychology that Allah, this is just real psychology. That males, men in particular, and this sounds chauvinistic, but there's enough research actually that backs this. That the males have this desire of multiplicity. That's why you see that in all the media. That's why Freud was famous for his Freudian slips. Right? That's what his theory was, right? So the idea is that this is a very natural thing, that it's related to the testosterone that a man has. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this, that hey, you protected yourself and your private parts in this dunya, in the akhirah, it's pleasure without any frills. You have as much enjoyment as you want. And this is something that is, like I said earlier, previously as well, that the idea of having marital relations and sexual relations is not looked down upon in Islam. The idea of doing it outside of the legal boundaries is looked down upon. Within the legal boundaries, it's considered worship. The Prophet ﷺ had told the Sahaba that when you sleep with your wife, that is worship. And the Sahaba were like, that's worship, we're satisfying our desires. And the Prophet said, yes, because if you were to do it outside of marriage, it would be a sin. But you're doing it inside of marriage, and that is considered ibadah, that is considered worship. And I'll tell you, maybe I told this joke earlier too. One of my friends got married on the 27th night of Ramadan. Not tonight, one of the previous Ramadans. And we were joking that he's going to be doing some other type of ibadah today. He won't be praying Qiyam al-Layl, he'll be doing other ibadah. Because it's also ibadah. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Allah also describes and says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ. And not just pleasure of newly acquired friends in Jannah, also people from dunya that they knew. For example, their children. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ بِمَا كَسَبَ رَهِينٌ. The families of these people, even if these families, the kids, okay, they were Muslim and they did the baseline good deeds, but they weren't, say, as good as the father. Or the flip side, the father is not as good as the son or the daughter. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take whoever is lower in Jannah and unite them all in a higher level of Jannah. Families that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together actually are investing in each other's akhirah. They're helping each other get to a higher level of Jannah. One of my friends was telling me that he would make a dua, it's very interesting. He said, oh Allah, give me a wife who would be higher than me in Jannah. Right? Interesting dua. I'm not recommending you make that, I'm just quoting that. Because the idea is that you have a person who's with you, who you live with, who you grow up with, who's related to you, and they are actually higher in Jannah. And because of your relation to them, because of your closeness to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be kind enough and allow that person to be joined. Because this is given as a means of inspiration, that we should all work hard, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of us all in Jannah. And also is a means of reuniting families. We'll make new friends in Jannah, but also people we cared about in dunya will also be with us in the Jannah, in the Akhirah as well. وَأَمْدَدْنَاهُمْ بِفَاكِهَا وَلَحْمٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ And we will give them fruits and meat, the two most expensive of items when it comes to purchasing food. Meat is most expensive, and then fruit is also very expensive. Vegetables are cheap, rice and stuff, they're cheap. You can get like a lot of them for a small price. But nice meat, like triple A cut, that is very expensive. So it says, فَاكِهَا and لَحْمٍ The two most prime foods they would have, مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ From whatever they want. Whatever they want, يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا And they would have, like this, they would be playing around with each other. They would have some fun with each other. Doing what? كَأْسًا لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ While drinking alcohol in Jannah. They protected themselves from alcohol in dunya. Allah will give them alcohol in Jannah. Particularly the alcohol of Jannah. The reason why alcohol is prohibited in dunya is because it makes a person lose their intellect. That's the second most, the cause of them after cancer. People can lose their lives the most due to drunk drivers. After cancer, imagine. We're spending all this money to do research for cancer, that's great. But the second most, the second cause after that is very easily curable. Stop drinking. Stop killing people when you're drunk. So, because a person when they drink, they lose the ability to differentiate, they lose their mental capacities, their speech becomes slurred, their vision becomes blurred. This is not a person who's acting at their full potential. And a person says bad things and does bad things while they're drunk is something that is a terrible consequence. Whereas in the Akhirah, Allah says, لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ This alcohol does not have any evil effects. A person does not lose their mind after drinking it. A person will not say stupid things after they're drunk. وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ And it does not lead them to do any sin. Like killing somebody while they're driving. And يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ غِلْمَانٌ لَهُمْ And there will be young boys that will go around them. Servants. You know, you have waiters who go around and give people food. Likewise in Jannah, there will be waiters as well. They will come and they would serve people food. They will give them drinks. غِلْمَانٌ لَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونَ Even the waiters, they would be, you know, sometimes we see a waiter and we're like, just give me the food and get out of my face. Right? But these waiters, they would be like pearls, shining pearls. Everything in Jannah is beautiful. Everything in Jannah is spectacular. Even the waiters that are bringing you the food and the drink, they're spectacular as well. وَأَخْوَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ And what are the people of Jannah doing? They will be sitting and chilling and talking. They will be sitting in front of each other, drinking, enjoying, having a good time, and talking. يَتَسَاءَلُونَ And they will talk about struggles. How did you make it? Where were you born? What year was it? You know, who was your prophet? Right? How were times? What was it like to ride a camel? What was it like to drive a car? Right? يَتَسَاءَلُونَ They were just questioning each other. That's all they're doing. So you made it here too. MashaAllah, that's awesome. How did you make it? يَتَسَاءَلُونَ That's all they're doing. قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ And they're all saying that we used to be people who were fearful. Fearful of the punishment of Allah. We used to live our lives. Always in our head we had the idea that we have to watch what we're doing, watch what we're saying, watch what we're looking, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take us to task. That idea. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا So because they washed out They were conscious that Allah was there. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them and conferred upon them a great favor. وَوَقَعْنَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ And He saved us from the punishment of the scorching fire. Samum is something that scorches and burns, very, very, with very severe burns. Inna kunna min qablu nad'uhu. We used to call upon him before. We used to make dua to him beforehand. Ya Allah, give us Jannah. Ya Allah, save us from hellfire. Ya Allah, make this life easy. Don't let us lose our faith. Right? Don't make this dunya the biggest of our concerns. Don't let us lose our akhirah, because we're striving for the dunya as well. They will continuously make dua. Kunna nad'uhu. Kana is a past tense fi'l, past tense verb. Nad'u is a present tense verb. And they're both one after the other. We don't speak like that in English. We either speak either in past tense or in present tense. But here in Arabic, you have a past tense verb combined with a present tense verb, which shows that there is a level of consistency. Yufidu al-istimrar, like they say in books of language, that it shows that there was a continuity. Kunna nad'u. We used to continue. Kunna min qablihi nad'u. We used to make dua, not just once or twice, constantly make dua. And because of their dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their du'as and brought them here. Innahu huwa al-barru rahim. Absolutely no doubt, he is the one who is al-barr, who is the most beneficent, and the one who is al-rahim, the most merciful. So we see this really beautiful duality between Surah Zariyat and Surah Tur. Surah Zariyat and Tur both begin with oaths. Surah Zariyat talks about the people of Jahannam as they are in dunya, and then describes in Surah Tur as they are in Jahannam. Likewise, the people of Jannah in Zariyat are described as they are in dunya. And then Tur describes them as they are in the Akhirah, in Jannah, enjoying and having a good time. Really, really beautiful. A couple of other things about these surahs, and then we'll move on to the next few ones. Surah Zariyat has a couple of really, really powerful verses that we'll talk about. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ in Surah Zariyat. The purpose or the goal that every human being should have is that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they were created. The purpose of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it, is that we should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya'budun is worshipping, and also ya'budun is to lower ibadah is to lower yourself as well. Like the Arabs say, الطريق المعبد, the lowered, depressed road. So lowering ourselves, lowering our ego, that's part of why we're created. We have an ego. We were created with an ego, and we're created so that we can control and lower our ego. We're created, and things happen around us, things that we like, things that we don't like. And part of us lowering ourselves is things that we like, we say Alhamdulillah. Things that we don't like, we say Alhamdulillah, Allah knows best, He's got a plan for me. I will lower myself to the authority of Allah, to the commands of Allah. This is part of worship. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And Allah says, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. Allah doesn't want anything from us. We can't give Allah anything anyway. He doesn't want anything from us. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. Allah doesn't need food or whatever, or money from us. All this is for us. It's all for our own good, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. No doubt Allah is the one who provides, who is the provider, and the one who is very, very strong and powerful. Surah Tur, I'm just going to touch on this very briefly. Surah Tur is, if you're listening to it in Taraweeh or in Salah, you will notice the word Am repeat. The word Am in Arabic means or, but Am is used when you're asking a question. Right? I mean, Misra, Anta Am Min Surya. Are you from Egypt or are you from Syria, for example? You would use the word Am when asking a question. And what we will see in Surah Tur is there are 12 phrases that begin with Am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making a logical argument. You know, when you make a deductive argument, you say, okay, make an assumption. Can this be true? A or B is true. Which one is it? Okay? There's another assumption. Which one is true? A or B? You see? This is how arguments are made. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an argument. Am yaquluna sha'ir. Are they saying that he is a poet? That he just speaks something that's really beautiful, that's got no reality to it. Right? Am تأمرهم أحلامهم بهذا. Is it that they are their gods are commanding them to say this? أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ Are they saying that he's making it up? بَلَّا يُؤْمِنُونَ The reality is they don't believe in it. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ Were they created out of nothingness? أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ Or are they the ones who are creating everything? Are they the creators of everything? I was listening to a lecture by this guy, and he was quoting Stephen Hawking, the great physicist of our times. And he said, this is unbelievable, right? He said that gravity, laws, natural laws like gravity, have the power to create. And thus we came from nothing. He said, خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ Created from nothing. He says, gravity has the power to create. And because of this natural law, it is possible that we can come from nothing. He's making that argument in his book. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ SubhanAllah, Allah is asking, and anybody who has a sane mind would just say that this doesn't make any sense. The idea of material creation has a point of origin. It has a point of origin. Right? The fact that the universe is expanding, you can trace it back, you can rewind it back to a point of origin. That point of origin had to be created, had to have a beginning. You can't have no point of origin and then all of a sudden things are expanding from it. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ And there has to be something that all of it started from, right? That's basically what Allah is asking. And أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Are they the ones who created the skies and the earth? Right? أَمْ عِنْدَهُمْ خَزَائِنُ رَبِّكَ أَمْ لَهُمْ سُلَّمٌ أَمْ لَهُ الْبَنَاتُ وَلَكُمْ بَنُونَ أَمْ تَسْأَلُهُمْ أَجْرًا Are you asking them for money? So that's why they're not believing in you? Right? أَمْ يُرِيدُونَ كَيْدًا Are they looking for something? Are they looking for a punishment? أَمْ لَهُمْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ So many أَمْ here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically refuting every single possibility that exists, every single excuse that could exist to not believe in Him. In Surah Tur. Really powerful Surah. Surah Najm, afterwards, Surah number 53 begins with an oath as well. وَالنَّجَمِ إِذَا هَوَى Surah Najm and Surah Qamar are very closely related. They have a very interesting duality. Surah Najm talks a lot about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, logical proofs that a person could use to realize who Allah is. And Surah Qamar provides historical proof. We see this very often in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides logical evidences, things that you can think about, things you can see and observe. And he provides historical evidence. Past nations, stories of prophets in the past, always like that. So Surah Al-Najm and Surah Al-Qamar have a very close relationship like that. It begins with the statement of Allah, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى I take an oath by the star when it falls. Hawa is to fall. Right? That's why hawa is also desires. Because a person's desires and their whims basically make a person fall from a high standard. A person has a high sense of ethics, high morals, he's got a lot of honor. But then he follows his desires and does whatever he wants. And all the high good things that he has, he loses some of that. Because desires make a person lose their nobility. Very, very powerful, the relationship between falling and desires, linguistically speaking. Now, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى By the star when it falls. And there's many meanings classically were given, but we know the stars, when they break up the pieces, they fall. Right? When the gravitational forces are not acting on them anymore, they start to drift apart, and that's kind of like falling away from the core, right? Particularly when they are dying and they blow up, they fall away from the core. And this is something obviously that was not known back in the day. وَنَجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى Now, notice the relationship between the oath, the star as it's falling. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى Your friend has not lost his way, and he is not erred, meaning he hasn't lost the plot. Just like how the star falls, this man has not fallen from the high, noble place that he used to be. He was as-Sadiq al-Amin. He has not fallen from that because of revelation. He's in fact gone higher. وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak from his own desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. All of it is revelation, taught by somebody who's intensely in strength. ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَىٰ. The one of soundness. فَاسْتَوَىٰ. And he rose. Remember, the star is falling. The Prophet ﷺ did not fall into disgrace because he's preaching this message. In fact, he rose to prominence. And that mi'raj is described in Surah Najm. You see the powerful nature, the incredible connection between the oath and the content. The mi'raj is described. وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى. He reached the highest point of the horizon. This is the point where nobody could go beyond that. ثُمَّ دَنَا هُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ. I made a mistake here. وَهُوَ بِالْأُفُقِ الْأَعْلَى. This is Jibreel, who was displaying himself in his full glory, in full strength, covering the horizon. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ. Then he came close to the Prophet ﷺ. Usually Jibreel did not come in his full form. Usually he would come in the face of in the shape of a man, or in other ways. But this was the incident where he came in his full glory. دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ. He came close. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. He came as close as the distance of two bows, right? Very close. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا عَوْهَى. So he conveyed the message to his slave, to Allah's slave, of course. مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. His heart was not lying. The Prophet ﷺ's heart was not lying when he saw this. أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَى مَا يَرَى. Are you disputing about him, disputing with him about what he saw? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. Absolutely no doubt that he saw him one more time in the descent. عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. This is the mi'raj that I wanted to get to. سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. The highest point, the point after which nobody can go, no human being can go. عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. And at that point is the Jannah. عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. The Jannah where people will find protection and shelter. Now, this passage describes the Prophet's interaction with Jibreel. We don't have time to unpack a lot of the details there. Briefly, describes his interaction with Jibreel after he had received revelation, the first one, and then the revelation stopped. And he was afraid, and he was thinking, what's going on? Has something happened to me? Is everything okay with me? And he was walking down the streets, and he heard his name. And he looked around, there's nobody there. He continues walking. This is very early Makkah, by the way. This is right after Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, one of the earliest revelations. His name is called again, he looks around, he can't see anybody, and then he looks up and he sees Jibreel alayhi salam in his entirety, in his full glory, in his full majesty, covering all of the sky. That was the first time he saw Jibreel. And that after that revelation continued and continued. Then the second time he saw Jibreel in his full might and full strength is the second one, the وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. That's when the Prophet ﷺ was abused in Taif. He was hurt by them, and he really had no home to go to, because Mecca was no longer a safe place. Abu Talib was not alive anymore, and the people of Taif were extremely oppressive, and they acted like criminals. Even if a person's enemy comes to their home, you treat a guest with a certain amount of honor and dignity. The Prophet ﷺ was a guest in Taif. He was a son of Abdul Muttalib. If nothing, at least respecting for that. But they showed him no respect and nothing. And subhanAllah, they stoned him and abused him. So when he was in this low point in his life, that's when Allah subhanAllah took him to Mi'raj, up to the seventh heaven, and where he had a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He met all the prophets as he was ascending. This journey, also he saw Jibreel in his full form. This surah now, after discussing this, gets into some logical proofs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. These are names of the gods of Quraysh. Haven't you seen Lat and Uzza and Manat? Right? He says, أَلَكُمُ الذَّكَرُ وَلَهُ الْأُنْثَى تِلْكَ إِذَنْ قِسْمَةٌ دِيْضَى إِنْ هِيَ إِلَّا أَسْمَاءٌ سَمَّيْتُمُهَا. There's no reality to these rocks and stones. You've just given them names. There's no reality to them. You're calling them Lat and that's it. There's no reality to this idol that you have created. Right? So he gives them a logical proofs. Also he provides, for example, some other evidences. In the surah at the very end, and he says, أَلَّا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That human beings will only get what they're striving for. وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى ثُمَّ يُجَزَاهُ الْجَزَاءَ الْأَوْفَى. Then his effort will be shown and will be paid back in full. وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى. But the return at the end of the day is with his master. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in such control. He can choose a messenger. He can take a messenger to Isra, to Mi'raj. He is the one who has the ability to create, and he is the one who has the ability to resurrect. All that's mentioned before, but he says, even your day-to-day emotions are all in Allah's control. وَأَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَ. He's the one who makes a person laugh and cry. The emotions of laughter and crying, those are also in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَمَاتَ وَأَحْيَى. And at the very end of it, he is the one who takes the person's life and also gives the person life. What's interesting is taking the life is mentioned first and giving the life is mentioned second. Not وَهُوَ أَحْيَى وَأَمَاتَ. Because life, a person's alive and then they're dead. But the order is slipped here. Because the focus is on the Akhirah. Amata, you will die, wa ahya, and you will be brought back to life one more time. The focus of the surah is the Akhirah. Wa annahu khalaqa az-zawjayni adh-dhakara wal-untha. He is the one who created two genders, male and female, min nutfa, from a drop of sperm that was mixed or that impregnated the uterus. From that drop, that just unbelievable if you think about it. Then the same drop created two totally different genders. Males and females are very different, you know, physiologically, psychologically. There's lots of differences, not just body parts, of course, but also lots of other things, like the women get periods, men don't, right? Women can get pregnant, men can't, right? Many, many differences, but all from the same drop of sperm. When the father has a child and the child is a son, it's the same drop of sperm, same DNA. When the father or the parents have a daughter, it's the same DNA, the same drop of sperm that created both. SubhanAllah, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ أَذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى مِن نُطُفَةٍ إِذَا تُمْنَى. And also shows this idea that Allah reminds us that our origins are very humble. It was a drop of sperm. If it was on a person's clothes, they would be embarrassed about it. That's the origins that's our origins. So how is it that we're so arrogant? How is it we have such a big ego when our origins are so humble and our end is going to be so humble? We'll be dust. And our existence is so humble. We're just not even a speck in the grand scheme of things. How is it that we have such a big ego? Min nutfa idha tumna. And at the end of the day, وَأَنَّ عَلَيْهِ النَّشْأَةَ الْأُخْرَى. The final, the next creation is also incumbent, binding upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to skip to Surah Al-Qamar quickly because I want to just touch base on the Surah Rahman and Surah Waqi'ah, and basically we'll end because we have to go to Iftar. Surah Najm provided proofs of logical nature. Evidences that you can see, evidences that you can reason about. And Surah Qamar provides historical evidences. Surah Qamar, every ayah in Surah Qamar ends with a ra. Every ayah ends with a ra. For example, وَنْشَقَّ Qamar, سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ فِيهِ or أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِرٌ فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرٌ تُغْنِ النُّذُرُ شَيْءٍ نُكُرٌ. You will notice that if you listen to the surah, there is a different tone, there's a difference There's a different feel to it. It's got a different vibe. And that is because it all ends with a ra. And it's really, really one of the most powerful surahs in Quran. One of the themes that we've always talked about in our study is the stories of prophets, the historical evidences that Allah provides, and He provides them again and again and again. But every single time there's something new. There's a wrinkle that's added that wasn't previously added. That's not found in other parts of Quran. So let's look at the story of Nuh alayhi salam. First of all, in this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touches upon the story of Nuh alayhi salam and Hud and Salih and Lut and discusses, just briefly touches on Musa. Because, like I said, these are early Makkan surahs. The stories came in detailed late Makkan surahs. Late Makkan surahs like Surah Hud, like Surah An'am, like Surah Yunus. These were surahs that expanded upon the stories that were mentioned briefly in the early Makkan revelation. What you notice about the story of Nuh alayhi salam here is the following. So, when Nuh alayhi salam, فَكَذَّبُوا عَبْدَنَا, he was called a liar, وَقَالُوا مَجْنُونٌ وَازْدُجِرٌ, and they said he's crazy, and they basically abused him. Uzdujir is that he was, you know, bullied, basically. Subhanallah. فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ, and then when this came to pass, he made dua to his master, saying, أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرٌ, that I have been overtaken, so help me. فَفَتَحْنَا أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ, so we opened up the skies, or the doors of the skies, بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ, with rain that started to pour down in buckets. Like the Arabs would say, أَوَّلُ الْغَيْثِ قَطَرٌ ثُمَّ يَنْهَمِرٌ, right? The beginning of the rain is a few drops, and then it pours. So yanhamir, munhamir, is something that is, it's a pouring rain, it's a downpour. And not just that, وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا, we turned the earth into a spring. You know those springs that burst out of the earth? Not فَجَّرْنَا عُيُونَ الْأَرْضِ, we caused the springs of the earth to start bursting out of water. فَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا, the entire earth turned into a spring, and the water started to gush out of the earth. So it's pouring buckets from the sky, and it is bursting out of the earth. Imagine the scene now. فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ, and the waters met to achieve a thing that was already decreed. وَحَمَلْنَاهُ, and we carried him, Nuh alayhi salam, عَلَىٰ ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ. This is not mentioned in other parts of Quran. This description of the ship is not mentioned in other parts of Quran. And it is so fabulous. It says, ذَاتِ alwah, planks of wood, وَدُسُرٍ, and nails. It was wood and nails. Now, does a ship, any ship, have a chance in this kind of a flood? Where the earth is bursting out water and the sky is pouring buckets. No ship has a chance, actually. When this kind of torrent comes in the ocean, the ships stop. They just wait for it to pass. Or they predict the coming of it and they actually slide away to the corner because they can't, you know, when it's a heavy downpour, there's water on the ground or there's water in the sea and there's water coming from the top, survival is almost impossible. Right? The navigation systems tell them, no, don't go here, there's a storm coming, stay away, you know, just spend the night here. So ships, actually, even modern day tankers have no chance in this kind of a situation. And Allah says, we carried him on planks and nails. Because it wasn't the ship that carried Nuh alayhi salam. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who carried him. To show the humbleness of and the weakness of Nuh alayhi salam and the impossibility of the odds, the description is very precise. ذَاتِ أَلْوَاحٍ وَدُسُرٍ, planks and nails. And but what do these planks and nails do? تَجْرِي بِأَعْيُنِنَا, the tense is now changed to present tense. From past tense, he changes the tense now to present tense. Imagine this in front of your own eyes. It's, you know, flowing, it's floating. بِأَعْيُنِنَا, under our observation. جَزَاءً لِمَنْ كَانَ كُفِرٍ, as a payment for those who were denied by these tyrants, by these oppressors. Now, this ayah in Surah Najm, Surah Qamar repeats itself four times. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, absolutely no doubt, we have made the Qur'an easy to remember, easy to learn. easy to understand. Is there anybody then who will take the challenge? هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ Is there anybody who would invest 6 months of their life, you know, in the evenings, learn Arabic so they can understand the Quran? هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ Is there anybody who would do that? 4 times this ayah repeats. The Quran is easy. The Quran is not meant to be hard. It's not a book of riddles. You know, there's certain parts of it that are difficult, but 99% of it is overwhelmingly easy. Anybody who studied Arabic for just six months, 120 hours or 150 hours of instructional time, they have then the ability to access the Quran. And this is the peak of eloquence in Arabic. That's the most incredible part of this book. That despite the fact that it is so eloquent and it's got all these incredible themes and all these important things that are mentioned in it, despite that, a person can start from zero and within 6 months get to a point where they can approach the Quran themselves. Because Allah says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ Have no doubt that this book has been made easy. But is there anybody who wants to learn it? هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ Is there anybody who wants to learn it? That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ Best of you are those who learn the Quran and those who teach it. Because of this reason. I'm going to quickly touch on Surah Rahman and Surah Waqia, and then we'll end with that. In fact, I'm not even going to get into any of the details, but I'll touch on something really beautiful here. Surah Rahman and Surah Waqia 55 and 56 are two surahs that also have a really beautiful duality. They've got a duality. They've got a mirror. They're mirror images of each other. They're mirror images of each other. Surah Rahman begins with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Ar-Rahman. It then goes on and describes some of the great favors that Allah has done for people. وَالْأَرْضَ وَضَعَهَا لِلْأَنَامِ He's made the earth for people to live on. وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ The sky, He has raised it and made it, it's in balance and the cosmos is in the balance. All the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are listed, okay? So favors of Allah, number one. Then, number two is, people of Jahannam are discussed. Okay? People of Jahannam are discussed, and their interrogation and their situation is mentioned. Number three is people of Jannah, part A, group A is mentioned. Okay? وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَان From here. Okay? Then number four is group of people in Jannah, Group B is mentioned. Okay, this is وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَان فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَان And that's basically your four parts. Surah Waqi'ah begins with Jannah, people of Jannah, part B. سَابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ Okay, then it goes Jannah, part A. أصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين Then it goes to people of Jahannam أصحاب الشمال Then it goes to favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayahs أفرأيتم ما تمنون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون Do you see the water that you drink? أفرأيتم ما تحرسون Do you see the plants that you grow and the vegetation the crops that you plant? أفرأيتم النار التي تورون The fire that you ignite Do you see all these things? Favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed And it ends with إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون The glory of the Quran Let me repeat this So Rahman begins with The glory of Quran, علم القرآن. Then goes to favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Jannah, group A. Then Jannah, group B. ومن دونهما جنتان. Then first is the people of hellfire. Then Jannah, group A. ومن خاف مقام ربه جنتان. Then Jannah, group B. ومن دونهما جنتان. Surah Waqia is the opposite, the mirror of it, mirror image. First Jannah, group A. سابقون السابقون Then the next group of Jannah The أصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين. Then the people of hellfire. أصحاب الشمال. ما أصحاب الشمال. Then the favors that Allah has done. أفرأيتم أفرأيتم أفرأيتم. All the things that you can see. And lastly ending with إنه لقرآن كريم. Incredible, this incredible relationship between these two surahs. That it's, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how He speaks. There was no editorial process. It wasn't the Prophet ﷺ sat there and wrote this and be like, okay, let me change the topics like this and change the topic like that. Me trying to describe it, I'm messing up the order here. Because I'm speaking it. The Prophet ﷺ, there was no editorial process. It was not written down. He was not reading it off a book, right? It was written down after he spoke it. But, so it was prone to error. Despite all of that, there are no errors and there's incredible sequencing in the Quran that we find all over. Inshallah, we'll conclude with that because tonight we have to go to the iftar. So we'll end the broadcast here, inshallah. We'll end the class here. Jazakallahu khairan. And tomorrow we'll start from the 28 juz, which is the only juz in Quran that has a bunch of surahs that are all Madinan. Small surahs that are Madinan surahs, all of them in a row. We don't find that in the Quran, generally speaking. We find large Madinan surahs in the beginning of Quran. But the 28 juz is very special. It talks about the challenges a Muslim society faces, because Medinan society was when Muslims are living together. So the challenges that Muslim people face when they live together, when they work together, when they fight, all that stuff is dealt in the 28 juz, inshallah. I hope you join me tomorrow. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.